the basis for my teaching proper tonight. The Bible says, now Jericho was straightly shut up. It was closed. Why? Because of the children of Israel. There was a reason why it was closed. As a result, nothing went in and nothing went out. Is there any other version we can look at? Just verse 1. The Bible says, now Jericho, a fenced town with high walls, was tightly closed because of the Israelites. None went out or came in. Can we look at, I wish we can see NIV. Beautiful. No, the scripture you just, the version you just used now. NLT, thank you. Read with me, everyone. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly because... Stop. Don't rush. This is a conference. There was a reason why the people shut that place. The Bible says these people had fear operating in them. So even though they had creativity before and they could build such a wall, fear paralyzed them in a moment. And for the fear of Israelites, they shut that place that was once a beauty to neighboring nations. The Bible says 5 chariots could stand on the wall. What kind of a wall is that? Imagine a wall where 5 chariots could stand on. If you collapse it, it is still a wall. Now the question is, what kind of motivation was given to those people to be able to build such a formidable structure? Are we together now? Once upon a time, they came to that place, they advanced to that region, and the Bible says they were able to build this formidable structure with strong gates and towers. If you read, I wish we had time, you will see the security architecture of Jericho. Pastor, the security architecture of Jericho was second to none. The nation of Israel, even though a covenant people, they sneaked in and went to Rahab. In a moment, the news had gotten to the king that some people came. Their location was picked with accuracy. What sort of a city is this? Follow me carefully. Don't trivialize Jericho. I know it was destroyed, but let's learn something from it first. They sent somebody. He came to Jericho. They sneaked in and met a harlot. And there was such an intelligence system in Jericho. With precision, the king had received the news. Some men came from Israel. They came to spy. How was their motive discerned? And then they met Rahab. She had to coin a story. And he said, pursue them beyond the Jordan. And he opened the gates, they went and closed. Now, I'm trying to help you appreciate the fact that this city was not built by weak men. But one information entered their camp. And the moment that information entered their camp, progress died. A people who built such a fence, a people who had such security architecture, somebody introduced one information. Give us that scripture again. Now you will understand what you are reading. Now the gates, what did they close? Help me, what did they close? The access that controlled their commerce, the access that controlled their moving in and going out, suffered. Not because the gates spoiled, not because anything bad happened to it, simply because of one factor was introduced. They were afraid of the Israelites. The Bible says, as a result, no one was allowed to go in, no one was allowed to go out. We're discussing gates. We'll bring down Jericho later, but this night I want you to understand what can happen to a people. How can a man be so powerful, so saved, so intelligent, so creative, with results to show, And then just one information is introduced into the life of that man, and he will prefer stagnation to advancement. That a man prefers to remain the same. Let our economy suffer, yes. Let our reputation go down, yes. Remember, they only heard, they had not seen them. It was just a rumor that it's possible you may be liable to an attack, and because of that, every activity that makes for progress suffered. Everybody say fear. Fear. Shout it again. Fear. This night, we're dealing with some of the forces. Before we talk about these gates, there seem to be something that fear is able to do to men. Listen carefully. That even though it is an invisible enemy, the presence and the devastating effect of it can be physical, and you can relate with. Joshua chapter 1. When we start with that book, now they were mourning Moses. Please give it to us. Joshua chapter 1. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over. Prophesy to someone, say, go over. One more time, say, go over. The guy was sitting there in fear. What do I do with a people so great? How do I lead these people to a place of destiny? Please keep that scripture. And God said, my servant is dead. Now arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give them, even unto the children of Israel. Verse 3, it says, every place, hallelujah, that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Someone shout amen.
Amen.
From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river. You know, let me pause for a minute and let's celebrate God here. Look at God sharing land as if there are no enemies there. You see, when God talks to you, he talks like he's talking to himself. He does not talk like he's seen any limitation. When you build that house, give this one to this church, and while he's saying that, all you have in your account is 5,000 naira, and he will never talk about that limitation. This is God allocating lands with giants and fierce people. Please sit down. Give us that scripture. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, the great sea towards the going down of the sun, it shall be your coast. And there shall no man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Hold on. This was the reason why he removed the sword when that angel appeared, because of this word. God, you gave me a covenant. Who is this man? Who are you? And the man had to answer. He said, no. Are you for us or against us? Because a word was given to him that as I go, I don't know what I will face, but I know one thing, that I'm victorious. There is a word before me. We're exploring scripture. Please leave that scripture. And then it says, verse 5, I will not fail you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong. Another word for be strong is fear not, and be of good courage. Now that I've spoken to you about advancement, there is something that is in men. I want to take it out of you, otherwise you will not make progress. Now that I have encouraged you, I have shown you the allocations of your destiny, there is something that is common to all men. I need to go through a surgery with you. If I do not remove it, all this will remain as prophecy. Mountains will remain mountains. Prophecy will remain prophecy. Dreams will remain dreams. Visions will remain dreams. Visions. It says, be strong and of good courage, for unto these people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only thou be strong and very Why would God emphasize such a thing? He said, Mr. Man, I don't want to threaten you, but there are things you are going to see on the way. There are things you are going to hear on the way. There are people you are going to see on the way. Do not mind. Jeremiah chapter 1. Please sit down. Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 5. Jeremiah. Now, we have seen how God was calling and preparing Joshua. Let's see what he did to little Jeremiah. And before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, he says. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained. To ordain means to commission. To ordain means to legitimize an operation. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Are we together? Next verse. Then said I, the young boy is speaking now, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. Why? For I am a child. I love the Lord. He rebuked him immediately. He says, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Next verse. Do you see it here again? There is something about great men that if a surgery does not happen to you, you can have dreams and have visions. But when you start that journey, without this spiritual surgery, you may not arrive. He told him, be not afraid. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver you, saith the Lord. Jericho, a land that is so, that is in, as an architectural masterpiece with such level of intelligence and security, but as soon as fear was introduced into that system, not even their creativity could function. Immediately, everything paralyzed. Listen to me. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, in this place, the Lord has sent me to perform this spiritual surgery and crush the spirit of fear out of someone's life and out of someone's destiny. That's why I told you, don't worry, we are coming to gates. But this night, there is a lesson we must learn. Please give us chapter 6 and verse 1 again. NLT. Now the gates of Jericho, now the gates of creativity, now the gates of advancement, now the gates of progress suddenly became shut because the people were afraid. Now the gates of higher levels of ministry, now the gates of greater exploits in ministry, now the gates of signs and wonders, now the gates of the healing anointing, now the gates of supernatural manifestations became shut, because in as much as you are anointed and blessed, as you began to advance, you heard that there is a spirit that can destroy men. You heard that there is an influence that can come and interrupt your growth. Fear is dangerous. Was it not fear that stopped the crusades? Was it not fear that stopped the instruction from God? Go and lay hands on the sick. What if I pray and nothing happens? What if people record it and they put it online? What if they record my failure? We're in the days of social media. What if I pray for that dead body? And because of that, the gate was shut. Nothing went out and nothing went in. In 1 minute, I'd like you to pray that every spirit of fear over my life, oh, please be serious, over my destiny, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against you by the God of heaven. I come against you by the God of heaven. Following online, pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God.
Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down. Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. We're learning from Apostle Paul. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. We can go back to King James now. Hebrews chapter 2. The Bible says, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, which is the devil. Verse 15. Read with me, please. One, two, read. And deliver them who through fear of death. Fear of anything leads to bondage. Fear of success. Fear of advancement. Please pay attention, because there are many of you here, in spite of the prophetic word that continues to come from the man of God over your life, there are ministries locked up within your spirit. There are mantles and anointings. Shamakatos telepata. There are graces, spiritual investments after the fasting, after the prayer, after the night vigil. Now it's time to advance. And fear comes and shuts the gate. Nothing goes out, nothing goes in. Listen to me. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 that fear is a spirit. There is a psychology to fear, but fear, 2 Timothy, fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given. Look up, please. That means if you ever find fear in your life, you received it as a gift. Someone gave it. But God is saying, in that giving, I am innocent. I'm not the one who gave it. Listen carefully. Fear only comes to receivers. It is not only money that comes to receivers. We're dealing with giving and receiving here. Please give us that scripture. God had not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love. Look at the tripartite forces that must exist for one spirit to live. Don't you downplay fear. That for a man to deal with fear, there has to be a revelation of power. There has to be a revelation of love. There has to be a revelation of transformation. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Fear is given. It can be rejected. It can be received. This is very powerful. The assignment of fear, listen carefully. The assignment of fear, fear works like a prophetic word, because when you become afraid, you give power to what you are afraid of. Listen carefully. The only way what you are afraid of can have power over you is to bring you to a psychological state where you are afraid. Fear is confidence in the object of the fear. It is true. It's not just a cliche. It is true that when you manifest fear, you are giving confidence to the object of the fear. What is the purpose of fear? To gain access to your imagination, to gain access to your creativity, to gain access to your expectations. Job chapter 3 and verse 25. Job 3:25. Job said, for the thing which I greatly fear, what happened to it? It's come upon me. That means fear has magnetic properties. Fear can attract to your life what you are afraid of.
You are afraid of death. You are afraid of accident. You are afraid of plane crash. You are afraid of failure. You are afraid of this and that. And Job said, this is a mystery, that the thing that a man can greatly fear is the thing he attracts to his life. The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. So when God begins to launch men, listen carefully, after giving them all the encouragement, he will tell them, there is something I need to take out of you. It is not unusual in men to fear, but then when you begin to fear, you will never be able to do so much. Fear can impede the passion, the force, the zest to move forward. Because when God gives you instructions, he will open up to you a destiny that only God can fulfill. God cannot give you a destiny that men fulfill. He will give you a destiny that only God can fulfill. Why? Because he's the one who will walk with you to make it happen. Please pay attention this night. The purpose of fear is to gain access to your imagination. When you begin to think fear, the devil uses the sense realm and all the things that happen around you to plant fear in you. Can I tell you what fear does? Fear can deflate your hope. Fear can deflate your expectations. All of a sudden, the zest and the fire you have to move forward suddenly goes down. If you will ever raise the dead in your life, your first assignment is to have the courage to stand before one. If you will ever buy a land in your life, your first assignment is to have the courage to look at one land and say how much, and they mention an amount, you're almost falling down and you say, no way. Listen carefully. Can I tell you this? Behind the exploits of champions is a revelation that has given them an indefinite immunity against fear. Champions are men, but they are not ordinary men. They are men who have received a spiritual vaccination against fear. They have sustained the ability to defy fear. They have mastered fear and they know how to conquer it, and so they move from one level of triumph even to another. You will never be able to birth glory. I can imagine what happened to your wonderful man of God when God sent him here. Do you realize that once upon a time this facility was a flat ground? Yet your pastor was already sharing rooms on a bare ground. Let this one be an office. When you see champions operate, they look like madmen, but there is an audacity that knowing God produces. Let me tell you, believe what I'm telling you, because if it's success you are looking for, I wish I were lying. I would have just told you I'm sorry. There are serious giants and gates. Giants are not only metals, there are people also who are gates. When the Bible says, lift up your head, O ye gates, the gates were not metals, they were people. They spoke back. They said, who wants to enter? We are not used to opening. No. Can I tell you something? Oh, David, one day you will stand before Goliath. The key to the throne is in the pocket of Goliath. You must have the courage to bring him down to get to the throne. We live in a world that is so risk averse, so fearful, full of prophecy, full of fasting, full of prayer. But when it's time to move, this is why many remain stagnated forever. There are CEOs today who are supposed to be feeding nations and blessing territories. They remain with piles of prophecy, one impartation, one bottle of oil on their head after another, and yet they do not move. There are people who are supposed to be doing exploits in ministry, not from a standpoint of flesh. There are healing evangelists that are supposed to be packing stadiums and bringing glory to the name of the Lord. But because of fear, There are books that are supposed to be blessing nations today. If I write, what is the guarantee? We live in a world of guarantees. I cannot move. Can you guarantee me? Learn how to drive. Give me a guarantee. What if I have an accident? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. That I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Please sit down. Let me touch on something and we'll pray. Is God helping you tonight? Shake off that fear whilst you are sitting. You came for a conference. After this conference, we should hear testimonies that in 1 week, you carried 5 years through courage and put it in that 1 week. You smash every gate before you. You open the gate of... Sit down. There are three fears that you must overcome in your life if you want to make progress. There are three fears. There is no one who has done much for the kingdom who has not conquered these three levels and dimensions of fear. Are you ready? Number one, the fear of the past. The fear of the past. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. The past can administer fear to you. Here's what Paul said. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are... Look at me. Almost every part of your body, you can move it front and back, except your eyes. Because it was not in God's design that there should be any reason. You can move your leg back and front, your hand back and front, but the eyes was designed to look forward ever, forward only. If you want to turn your eyes, you must turn your head and turn part of your body. That's too much inconvenience. God designed it that way so that you will know that it's not his will for you to continue to turn back. Biologically, it is easier to look forward than to turn back. Listen carefully. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. Can I tell you this? Fear is a very dangerous spirit. It can carry yesterday and want to relive it in your life today. Yes, you failed yesterday. You started a company and it failed. You started ministry and it failed. You organized a crusade and you laid hands on the sick and it looked like nothing happened. You left that crusade ground as if you were returning from a funeral. You went back home and you said, God, did you call me? And so chances are that when God instructs you again, yesterday, the memory of yesterday has such a passion to leap into your today. You have to obtain grace from God to cut that string that connects you to yesterday. There are many people who would have been doing so much for the kingdom, but yesterday you want to rise. And yesterday tells you, did your father not try this? Are you the only pastor in your area? Did they not try living by divine health? Did they not try tithing? Did they not try giving? And when yesterday overwhelms you, you are unable to do anything. The fear of the past. There are many people who cannot rise up today and do great things because the voice of yesterday seems louder than the passion that will move them today and tomorrow. I came tonight joining faith with your pastor in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. Every connection between you and yesterday, we cut it forever. We cut it forever. Listen to me. When Nathanael heard about Jesus, he laughed and said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I hope you know Nathanael was not lying. There was a track record. He was speaking based on facts. Dr. Munro of blessed memory, he says, the fact is the present state of a thing. The truth is that thing as designed by God. The fact is the present state of anything. You did ministry yesterday and you failed. You prayed for the sick, you failed. You started a business, you failed. You went to school, you failed. You applied for a job, you failed. And the devil can use those things to impede you. He will use the voice of men and he will tell you you cannot make progress. But he speaks to you tonight, His Majesty, fear not. When they came to Jesus and Jesus was wandering, gave them a word over the catch, they said, Master, there is a history. We have toiled all night. Before you came, we've been doing it. He says, but nevertheless. Somebody say nevertheless. Yes. Prophesy, say nevertheless. Yes, I prayed for you yesterday and you were not healed. But it's not the yesterday version that is coming to you now. Between yesterday and today, Saul has encountered Samuel. I know that I did not have the prophetic grace to know where the donkey was missing. But while you are rejoicing over the weak Saul, he has met Samuel and received an anointing and is now one of the prophets. Listen, this is one of the dangers of being around people who used to know you. Because they always think the version of you they knew is the version that remains. They did not meet the version that has received an impartation. They did not meet the version that has prayed and fasted. They didn't meet the version that has now been mentored. They met you when you just came into Abuja. Ignorant of spiritual principles. A non-tither, you are not a giver, not established in the house of God. So your lack of results, well, that's the testimony they have. Every time they mention your name, they trace it to that. Jesus died, but he only died for 3 days. Don't talk about the dead Jesus when he's already resurrected. Halimas Kalibranda Kabaruziata. As at when they met you, January, you had not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You didn't seem to take God seriously. But let me tell you this, from January till now, they didn't know you came to water life. They didn't know the fire that came from this altar upon your spirit. It is very natural for people to trace you to the version of you they used to know. And that can be dangerous. Some of those people can even be your family members. When they hear that this man is now serving God, they laugh. And they say, the last time we checked, this guy was a broke failure who did not know God. What suddenly happened? Oh, do not laugh at Samuel. While he's looking for the missing donkey, there is an angel leading him to encounter a prophet and then encounter a grace that will make him king. Go and ask any successful man who has made constructive advancement in the kingdom. They will tell you they had to conquer the fear of yesterday. People predicted your failure without prophesying it, and they were right so many times. Hear me. There are many of us under the sound of my voice listening to me. While you are hearing me speak, the Holy Ghost is telling you, this is what I've been showing you in dreams. This is what I've been showing you in visions. That if you do not rise, your family will never rise, because the mantle of the liberty, the advancement of your family is upon your shoulder. But fear, every time you want to rise, you say, oh God, I'm a stammerer. Stammerer Moses. Oh God, I want to rise, but Abraham, time has gone. I am too old.
Holy men, kill all of our excuses. The fear of the past. The first time we organized a crusade, the car spoiled on the way. 3 hours to the crusade ground, to the crusade time, we had not arrived. And we didn't have money to call any mechanic. It took faith and worship to get that car back. When we got, true story, when we got to that crusade ground, the ladies who were cooking were also the ladies in the choir. We didn't have any luxury of hiring anybody. The bills were paid by faith. You understand what I'm saying? When they finish the crusade, you tell everybody go, and then you who said God sent you, you now have to wait and defend, you make your calling and your election sure. So chances are that after such a horrible experience, when God says go again, you say, God, I'm tired of looking like a fool before this world. God speaks to you and tells you you are going to become a mighty vessel in the hands of God. They gave you Bible study in your house to lead. You forgot every scripture. They gave you 1 week to rehearse and pray. The only thing you remembered was opening prayer. The jotting disappeared and you messed up, and your father, you know, that's how parents look at you, with compassion mixed with disappointment. Is this the person who is going to take over from me? And you return back and your loved one said, no problem, you have a certificate, there's an opening somewhere to get a job, because it doesn't look like this ministry will work. And you return back and God tells you, are you ready for us to continue the lecture? He does not even talk about your failure. You came for a conference, the Lord is speaking to you. Can I tell you this? The reason why there are very few people who ever succeed in this kingdom is because there are few people who have the courage to look at yesterday and say, I refuse to be emotionally connected to you. I wave you goodbye and I force you to wave me back. I failed yesterday, but the prophetic grace is still there. I laid hands on the sick and they were not healed. I know. The courage to break free from the past. The courage to break free from the past. You have, good or bad, they can do the same thing to you. Are we together? Chances are that you are born again and you love God, filled with the Holy Spirit. You return back to an area where you grew up and you see all your friends that perhaps maybe you used to live your life, maybe a wayward life together with them. And they say, we hear that they call you Reverend now. And they laugh and clap and say, you mean God has, God, all God's army have died for God to find you, and you feel stupid for